Welcome to Charmed Life, a radio show discussing spirituality, magic, and the unconditional love of the universe. Thanks for tuning in. And I am your host, Tricia Carr. Thank you so much for being here with me today. And this is a special broadcast. Normally, I'm on at 11 a.m. Pacific, and it is 9 a.m. Pacific. And Jarvis is sleepy, and so am I. Jarvis, the producer. Shout out to Jarvis. Thank you for being here early. But the reason that I am here earlier today is because I have a very special event I'm attending afterward, and I'm going to tell you all about it. So for those of you who are just joining me for the first time, thank you so much for being here and welcome. And however you are joining me, whether it's on a podcast version of Charmed Life or if it's on YouTube, welcome, and your timing is perfect. And so you can find more of my work, whether it is more of these episodes of Charmed Life, at my website, which is trishacarcharm.com. And you can also find my services. And I'm a medium, an animal communicator, and energy healer. And I am just about to launch a coaching program that I'm very, very excited about for all of you spiritual seekers, empaths, highly sensitive people who would like to find an alignment with whether it's an entrepreneurship or their highest career path. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited. It's going to be an extensive multi-week program, a couple months, something like that. Really great stuff. So keep your eyes out for that, because I know there are a lot of you out there who reach out to me for that kind of work, and I'm very excited developing this program for you guys. So I hope to connect with you on that. And I also put up additional videos teaching on my YouTube channel every week, in addition to this broadcast going out as a web show on my YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/Tricia Carr, T-R-I-C-I-A. It's like Patricia without the puh, which is actually my legal name. So, you know, that's how you can remember it. And also you can remember it because my birthday is St. Patrick's Day. Isn't that weird? Patricia born on St. Patrick's Day. Some kind of synchronicity there. Actually, yesterday was my mama's birthday. I don't know if she's listening right now, but I have to say happy birthday, Mama. I love you so much. Thank you for being born and for deciding to let me be born. I love you very, very much. All right. Well, let's see. Any other business I want to take care of? Maybe not right now. I think I will head right. Oh, yes. One more bit of business. I think Jarvis just sent it to me telepathically, because it is my telepathy class, and it's a self-paced class. It's online. You can check it out at my website. It is teaching you how to remember your first language. Telepathy is your first language. I will tell you more about it in the class if you want to go ahead and register for it, and you take it at your own pace. And then there's an element of being able to have your questions answered as well on a quarterly basis, along with everybody else's. And, I answer your questions directly as well. So it's really interesting, really informative, and will crack into a lot of points that you may be wondering about how we move in this energetic field. So please do check that out. And to that, I will tell you also that we are taking calls today, so you can call in with your questions or to see if there is a message from Spirit. The phone number is 323-524-2599. But I'm going to talk to y'all a little bit first, and that is about the reason, like I said, my show is earlier today. I have been attending this weekend an event. It's live here in my neck, here in Los Angeles. And there is a person named Daryl Anka, who is a channel, and he channels an extraterrestrial being named Bashar. Well, he's called Bashar, I should say, because Bashar and his people are actually telepathic, so they don't really use names. But we need to use names, so he goes by Bashar, and the being is an Esasani. That's the name of the planet that they inhabit. And so if you are interested in spirituality and you're just kind of picking this up for the first time, you're like, what? I thought she said spirituality. Now she's talking about aliens. Well, guess what? It's the same thing. Because if I started talking about, people in Idaho, that would be about spirituality as well. So these are just people somewhere else. But the Esasani are actually they're an extra-dimensional, extraterrestrial people who are, you might want to say more ascended than we are. And by that, I mean that they have figured out they're closer to being able to live in unconditional love. They're obviously technologically more advanced than we are as well. Well, maybe it's not obvious because the way that Daryl and Bashar communicate is telepathically and through the method of channeling. And channeling isn't like possession, if you guys aren't really familiar with channeling. Channeling is sort of sharing a space with an entity so that the message can come through very clearly. Channeling is a very natural process. It happens with people who are in the zone, you might say, when we get into the zone. And that happens when we are doing art. It happens when we are maybe playing sports. It happens sometimes when we're just kind of, you know, we are working and we're looking at the computer and we're typing away for some time and we're really getting something out and you look up and all of a sudden time has passed and you don't even know how. And it also happens in when a person is like, when I'm on this show, channeling happens with me sometimes. You'll feel me get very impassioned. You'll feel my pace quicken. You'll feel your heart excite. And that's because we're all tapping into this kind of higher energy frequency that's flowing through. So that's what the event is, or that's what channeling is about. And the event is centered around some Q&A with Bashar. And I actually have a caller, so I'm going to go ahead and take that caller, and then I will continue talking about Bashar, but more importantly, about the message of today. And that is actually a big center of Bashar's message. So let's take that caller. Hello? You're on the air. I think you're there.
Trisha?
Hi there.
Because we felt rejected by those who keep us physically alive. And so we created...
What's happening? I don't know. We got some technical difficulty. Is that maybe... It sounded like he said it was Dave. Is that Dave's... Dave needs to turn down his volume? Okay. Dave, we have you on hold again. There you go. Hello. There you are.
Hi, Trisha. It's Dave Neal.
Oh, hi, Dave. Oh, it's so nice to hear your voice.
Oh, I finally get to see you on air. It's so wonderful. I have time today. I had off.
Okay.
And I have like a really good question for you.
Okay.
And it probably might be a question for other people too.
Good. Let's hear it.
It's about channeling and getting your life purpose, what you want to do.
Okay.
I have decided that I am going full head steam into mediumship. That's what I'm studying right now, mediumship.
Woo-hoo!
I mean, I do it so often. And I'm trying to find the balance between studying this and still being with all my spiritual friends. Because sometimes I have to, like, not cut them off, but can't be there because I'm trying so hard to do one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. You think that's a good idea? Or is there a better way to find balance? And, like, all the channeling that I get constantly, if I'm with a large group of other people who channel, I tend to, like, start picking up everything they do.
Yeah.
Or they hear and what I hear. So it gets confusing. So I have to kind of step back.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
do you think that's a good idea?
So, so you're saying that when you're around, you're trying to figure out your own space and you want to stop. Basically, it sounds like you're saying when you're around your other friends, then you're unable to just focus on your own receiver. You're focusing on their on receiving from them as well, is what you're saying. And you're trying to receive just from the higher source, like higher, whether it's from a higher light being or whether it's your higher self. And this is, but you're finding difficulty having the boundaries of not connecting with the others around you. Is that what you're saying, Dave?
Yeah, that's pretty close.
It's, okay.
Yeah, when I'm with... even like when I get on pages or Facebooks with like-minded people and everything, I start picking up from everybody. And I'm like, wait, I need to like just pick up my stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So,
so I'm trying to figure out a way to close it off. And I've been asking, but, you know, it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
just trying to figure out that balance.
Right. Okay. So a couple of things that are coming to mind is, I think this one might work for you because I forgot about this, but I think it might actually resonate for you. I have a friend who comes on this show has come on the show a few times, and her name is Hillary Michaels. She is a medium, and she teaches mediumship, and she says, go home. When she says that, she's referring, she usually points to like her solar plexus area. Well, so when she's coaching someone on mediumship, she sees that they're starting to get a little out of sync or starting to, you know, just feel like you're not really receiving. She says, go home, go home. And she coaches them that and touches the solar plexus. And home for her, when she's talking about, is that clarity, is that space, basically your God essence. It is the heaven inside you. And so just to take a moment and refocus and center back, the solar plexus is kind of like that area is where we often think of where our light emits from, or some people say it's like the seat of the soul.
Yeah.
So if you can feel, and it's also your God essence, your identity. So if you can maybe feel into that center when you feel that's happening, because it's going to bring your awareness all the way back inside to you. Does that resonate with you? Maybe you feel like you might be able to.
Yes, that makes absolute sense. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then from there,
I'm going to give that a try.
Keep doing that, because then it's just a muscle. So you just have a habit of reaching out and, you know, feeling out for others, because you're extremely empathic, and that's just your natural ability. But did you so, by the way, Dave and I are both in a spiritual community called the Lightworkers Lab. And so I shout out to the Lightworkers Lab. If you are a spiritual seeker and are looking for a community of like-minded folks.
Awesome place to be.
Right? How about the, you know, the resources, the support? It's a safe, beautiful place. So check it out. I mean, you can find it on by searching for it on Facebook. That's where it's home. That's where its home is. So did you see my class on Wednesday? I think it was week before last, where I was talking about HSPs and empaths and everything. Did you happen to catch that class, Dave?
I know. I didn't get to watch the whole thing. I was trying to watch it and review. I consider myself empathic, but I guess it would be empathic because I pick up too much. I'm trying to learn how to shut off some people.
Yeah, you're reaching out. That's a, you know, I know it doesn't feel like you're reaching out, but you actually are. But you know what might even be better is the video I did subsequent to that, which was just a couple of days later, and it's a shorter video. And there's a really sort of dense message there, and it's short, so it'd be easy to just watch, because it really is talking about how what happens is we are very sensitive, we're empathic people, and we, as we come up when we're younger, or, you know, it can go on for an entire life, we actually turn the empathic kind of sensing inside out, where in that we start to feel like we're absorbing, and it feels almost like we're victimized. So like you're saying, you're like, I'm trying to shut it off. It feels like you're not doing it and you can't help it. And that is just sort of, it's turned inside out, and it's just because of not being able to use it with our full awareness, which, you know, that's a learned skill, because coming up in conditioning when we're young and we don't have the mental understanding besides, and we don't have the emotional development. And it's something that we started doing when we were very young, you know what I mean? Like we were sending it out and we didn't know that that's what we were doing. Of course, it's with the people who are parents. If we are parents, we would be able to tell our child, okay, sweetheart, you need to, you know, we could give them the skills, but our parents didn't know to teach us how not reach out all the time.
Mine especially
too. But you know, we have that subtle energy. We're always sending out these feelers and stuff. That's how this habit has gotten built. So you actually are completely in control of it. You just need to develop that subtle sensitivity about how you're in control of it. So I think that first one, and you're going to feel like you have to do it a lot, that going home. And I think that actually maybe you're spending some time on your own practicing how it feels, but being very aware of what it feels like to stay in your space. And so imagine, I don't know if you do the bubble kind of exercise, the bubble kind of meditation.
I do body scans when I ground, and I just, so I know exactly how I feel.
Okay.
And then that way, when I walk into a place, if anything changes, I'm like, okay, that's not me.
Perfect. Good. Now,
I've been doing the body scans, but I will have to do the bubble. What's the bubble thing?
So the bubble, that's how I start, is I do the body scan and I actually root and then I also bring light in through the chakras. And as the light comes through, and then it fills up around me, and then I see basically like I'm in this bubble. And a bubble is fragile and it's permeable. So it isn't like a prison. It's just your gentle intention. And the bubble represents kind of the edge of your aura or your electromagnetic field. And it is telling you to keep, first of all, keep it filled with your own light. With light, and the light comes from divine, you know what I mean? Like but what we do also as empathic people, when you're reaching out like that, you're also giving out your energy without having your cup totally full. And so that's the space you want to work from anyway, as a medium or an intuitive or a channel, is you need to continue to be full in your bubble, and the light that you are sending out as healing light is just from divine. You're not sending out your own healing energy. You're not sending out your own life force energy. So that bubble, being able to focus your visualization on that bubble and keeping it full will also help you to know that the edges of this bubble, like I say, they're permeable. So something comes through there, then we also just say, okay, that's great, but it's going to stay out there. Now I'm aware of it. And now that is now I'm using my empathy. Now I'm using my empathic abilities. It's not using me. I haven't turned it inside out. The bubble will help you too. And if you sit in your So if you sit in your own space, then you're going to and do this for a bit, and then you can practice that. And where your electromagnetic field ends, and what happens is with what you're saying, you actually are sending out all these little tentacles, all these little feelers. So imagine that nothing like that is going out. You're just staying there, and that the information is just going to come from above, from divine, okay? Your guides or whoever you're channeling, whether it's your higher self or your guides, that is going to come straight down from your crown chakra rather than sensing out through, you know, all these little tentacles that you're sending out. All right, so sitting in your space and visualizing that bubble, keeping it full, and also keeping yourself contained within, doing that intermittently with being out with other people and practicing the go home, and practicing also while you're with your people, seeing that bubble again and keeping it full, and imagining if I have any tentacles that I've sent out, just bring them back in and bring my energy back in, because I don't need it to go out. I'm just receiving information from divine. Does that help? Maybe. I think those couple of
yes, exactly.
Yeah,
I am going to totally do that coming home thing. I am totally going to try that.
Yeah, go home. Yeah, Hillary, and it's just, it takes a second. Anytime you feel, like if you're picking up on, there's another thing you could do when you're out in a room and you're like, okay, that's not me because I know my body. You could just say, go home. Sometimes we talk about return to sender, which is good too, but return to sender is really about remembering that you don't need that, that you took that on and you don't need that, so you're just going to send it back. You know what return to sender is? It's
okay.
It's like what you're saying, and I'll say it for those who are listening. For very empathic people, we pick up other people's energy and their thoughts and their emotions, and we have this false belief that we're actually victimized by it, that we absorb it and we can't handle it. But that's just because we've kind of got really bad habits energetically, and it's an extremely subtle thing. It's almost like a very subtle kind of hearing, but you're capable of closing those ears. You really are. You don't have to listen to all of it, and you're not meant to. That isn't actually how that is letting the gift use you, and then it's no longer a gift. And you're permissive. You aren't a victim of it. The field, the universe does not victimize you. It's actually working to support you. It's just stuff that, because we're so sensitive, we're very young, we're sending out these feelers because we're like, I need to know if it's safe, you know, and like you said, especially with your parents, that gives me a little clue into what, how it must have felt with your parents. It's the same thing with me. The environment felt unsafe. And even if you had the best possible parents ever, there are times when the environment feels unsafe. And so relative to a very sensitive child, then, you know, we get things a little bit upside down. Yeah. Does that help then,
exactly,
Dave?
Exactly.
Yeah, so we keep at it.
That's very helpful. I'm going to do that.
If you feel like you need to take a little time on your own and not spend time with your friends, that's fine. But I think that both, I think practicing alone and practicing with them, and maybe you have to set the habit up a little. I think the going home thing is something you could start right away. Even if you're going to go see your friends today, you could start that right now. And then when you're alone, do some of that bubble visualization. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to do that next time I run a lot of people that even like have the same stuff that I do, is just to tell myself, this stuff's mine, that stuff's theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's got to be.
Yeah, mind your own
business. I should be able to hear better then.
Yeah, exactly. You're right, you can hear clearer and just know that you're just connecting with divine. You don't have to connect with absolutely everyone else around. Even if you're connecting with another individual to bring messages forth for them or to heal in some way, if you reach out to connect with their field, at some point you're still going to pull back and you're going to be bringing the information from divine. You know what I mean? Like you still pull back. Because you just start there and then you tap into their guides and your own guides that way. It's still about receiving the information from divine. Because anyone can just be a psychic or a mentalist and not be a healer. That's no big deal. That doesn't help anybody. Big deal.
Right.
All right, sweetheart. Well, thank
exactly.
you so
much. Well, that's really good. That's really good. I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna put that into play today.
Great. Well, let me know how it goes. And I'm gonna be on live in my Facebook group. I'm gonna be on live tomorrow. So maybe we can chat about it then.
Okay, no problem. All right. Well, have a great show, and I'm going to still keep listening.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Well, we have another caller. We have a lot of calls, huh? Okay. Well, before oh, we already put him on? Okay, that's fine. Hi there. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, Tricia. How are you?
I'm
glad I got on. I was a little bit nervous as I was waiting on hold. I almost hung up the phone.
Oh, well, Jarvis.
Because I was getting a little bit nervous.
Jarvis put you on, and it was so funny. I have to tell you real fast, though, because I was about to say, before we bring on the next caller, and Jarvis had already made you go live. So it seemed like our timing was off, but actually Jarvis's timing was perfect with you because you needed to get on right now. What's your name, by the way?
Oh, yeah. So Jarvis must have sensed that. Thank you, Jarvis.
Yes.
What happened was, I don't know if you remember me, but I called a while ago, and I acted like a fool on your program, and I wanted to call and apologize because I've been watching you ever since, and I felt terrible that I was acting like such a goofball on your show. This is Mike. I don't know if you remember me, Tricia.
Of course I do, Mike. And I, sweetheart, you're very, very sweet. You absolutely do not need to apologize. But I remember you. Tell me what's going on with you. I don't think you acted a fool.
Well, it turns out that all this goofing around got me in trouble because I started pretending that I was guy around town who was going to a bar and I met a woman and this and that, and I'm hitting on Hillary. And then, you know, my wife, who I failed to mention on the last episode, she gets a hold of this program of yours, and she sees me acting like a goofball, and she's like, what kind of nonsense is this? And now we've had trouble ever since, and all because of a silly prank. And she said part of me making it up is calling back to the program and publicly apologizing on it. So I'd like to apologize to you as well as Hillary, and I don't want to do any more jokes or anything. I want a real serious sort of reading now because I'm really in need of it now.
All right, sweetheart. Well, your apology is 100% accepted, and I know Hillary always watches.
Oh, you're very nice.
Of course. Hillary always watches the show. If not live, then she watches it because she actually teaches a lot on Sundays. So she will watch it on YouTube, and I will be sure to let her know that you reached out to her today. So, okay then, honey. What in particular is there anything you want me to look into, Mike?
Yeah, I want to know if my wife's going to let me back home because it's been a while now since all these things have not been going well. It's been one thing after the next. And all this goofing around finally caught up to me, and I want to make amends, and I need to know how to go about that. And I know, you know, life isn't a crystal ball. You can't tell me for sure if it's going to happen, but I was hoping maybe if you can get a reading or a feel of what I could do or how this all works, because this is all I haven't taken it serious until now, and I felt. And now I feel like I could really use it.
Okay, sweetheart. Give me just one sec, Mike. I just want to tap in, okay? Okay, so I feel that there still is really, there's profound love there between you and your wife. You both feel it. You both have the intention of moving forward. She is just rebuilding her trust with you, and you actually are rebuilding your trust with yourself. So a big step here for you, Mike, is it's going to feel a little, I want you to hear this, because this is actually going to feel difficult to hear right now, but you need to actually forgive yourself. In order for you to be able to, I know, see, that because you feel guilty and all that kind of stuff, trust me, though, you need to forgive yourself because that's the best way to rebuild trust with your wife, because you have to trust yourself as well. So right now, you can imagine, okay, Mike, do you have a dog? Have you had dogs back in any time in your life?
Do I have a dog?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't have a dog. No dogs.
Okay, but you understand.
At one time, you predicted that I would get one, and that never happened.
All right. Well, listen, but I'm just using the dog as a metaphor here. But you understand how dogs? They say that dogs can sense your fear. You know, you've heard that before. And you know that when, so when you approach a dog and you feel uncomfortable and you're fearful of him, then it sends a signal because they're telepathic and instinctive as well. So it sends a message to them, there's something to be afraid of. So see, if you're having distrust in yourself, it's going to be distrust that you're emitting. If you're distrusting yourself, then you're sending forth the energy of distrust. And so it's going to be difficult for your wife to trust you as well. See, if you trusted yourself...
Are you sensing fear in me now? Because my heart's beating a mile a minute. I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack.
That's okay. You're okay. You're good. It's just some anxiety. That's just your body adjusting to this. This is a big thing that you're doing. Yeah, you're okay. Take a breath with me. Ready?
Okay.
I'm gonna count you in.
Deep breath. Let's breathe.
I'm going to count you in on four. You're going to hold for seven and out for eight.
Okay, I'll count you in.
Ready?
Okay, hold.
One, two, three, four. Hold. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. Out. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. All right, you're good. We're here.
Can I let go? I'm turning like purple.
Yeah, I told you to go out on the eight count.
Oh, I never did that before. I thought you were trying to kill me or something there,
no,
Trish.
No, I told you to go out.
Anyway, listen. Give that Hillary my best, and if you get her on the show again, is it okay? Can I ever call back again? Am I forgiven from you guys? Can I call back into your program?
Absolutely.
And give you periodic updates on how things are going?
I would love that. I would love that. You're welcome anytime.
Would you really?
Absolutely.
Oh, you're like the nicest person in the world. Thank you, Tricia.
All right, Mike. Best wishes to you. Blessings to you and your wife. You guys are going to just keep focusing on the love and the trust, and you're going to make it through.
Still breathing. Okay,
right.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye. Thanks. Bye.
Man, we just have perfect divine timing here on this show, Jarvis, don't we? Because, y'all, it was really funny. If you watch the show, whether you're watching live or if you go back and watch the video, you'll see me like looking over like, oh, you already brought the caller on. Oh, okay. And then it's just Jarvis knew. I have to get this guy on because he has to say something, and he was about to hang up. It's just really amazing. But that's what it's like. That's honestly, I got to tell y'all, that is what life is meant to be, that miracles are actually our natural state. Miracles are not the phenomenon. And I'm actually quoting Bashar. So before we do bring on the next caller, I would love to talk a little bit about Bashar's message, which is the message of this show. Like I said, Bashar is the extraterrestrial entity that is channeled by Daryl Anka. And so what I called this show today is Your Greatest Excitement. And this is, if you guys want to know, we talk about the law of attraction and how we manifest things, and we have vision boards and affirmations, and all of those things are great if the foundation is set up appropriately. So the way that we actually move and flow, and we bring into our experience that which we prefer, so because absolutely everything that is in our experience, we created. It is the expression of our personal frequency. And so I want to give you this formula. The Bashar is the core of the message, and it's really the core of the message of all of the universal law teaching, the law of attraction. I want you to write this down. There are three steps. To pursue in every single moment, pursue your greatest excitement to the best ability at the time without any insistence on the outcome. And I want you to write that down. And then be with it. And I'm going to break down each of these, of the three, it looks like three parts. I'm going to break them down for you. So your greatest excitement, that which gives you that feeling of joy and bliss, pursue that in every single moment, because that feeling of excitement, that feeling of joy, whether it's like, even if it's imminent joy, it's actually when you're feeling it, you've actually brought the joy to you, even if it's about something that's about to happen or that you're going to do or where you want to be and what you're choosing, what reality you're selecting to be the current reality, the reality that you're moving toward. That highest excitement feeling, that feeling of joy and excitement, is the resonance with your higher self, with your oversoul. And the higher self is basically like your parent. It is the greater part of you that is with the spirit realm, that is with the universe, the all, the whole of the all. And it is the spiritual, the highest spiritual part of you. So when you feel that excitement, then you are actually resonating with that decision. And you're actually, we say, like going on your proper path. Now, so you have your, whatever that thing is. So whether it's something that you want to eat or what career you want to pursue, like Dave saying he's pursuing mediumship now, that is your highest excitement to the best ability at the time. So if the best ability, so you say, you know, I want beluga caviar. Well, that's not really, I don't have that cash in my hand right now. And, you know, it's just not, I don't even know where to get it. What's my highest excitement to the best ability at my time? What is what can I do right now that will make me in alignment with that highest excitement? And then with no insistence of the outcome. So the details of the outcome. When we are, let's say, looking at how we want to change our career path or our occupation, what we're doing each day, we sit in, and this is all done in a feeling state, not in a thinking state. Because when we are in that thinking state where our mind is chattering away, that's actually the function of the lower mind. It's not actually the function of the higher mind. The higher mind is connected to the higher self. So when we want to clear our mindscape, meditation is the best way to do this. We clear the mindscape, and then it's more of a feeling kind of sensing rather than a thinking sensing. We are feeling with that higher mind. The higher mind will inform us then and will become something that we understand in a conscious way. But the feeling, like if you think about this, if you were to clear your mind, forget about what's possible and what is and what's going on, you clear your mind and you feel forth toward what is my highest excitement in regards to an occupation, to what I do from day to day. You're going to feel that more than you actually think it. You're not going to think the words first. You're going to feel them. You're going to actually feel the experience first. And so when we are choosing the preferred reality, let's just keep that occupation thing going. We want to feel absolutely every benefit, every nook and cranny of the design with all of our senses. Let your imagination just go wild. Color absolutely every aspect of it, because every hue, every color, every element that you include, whether it's like designing each day, what is my best day? What does that look like? What am I doing? What am I wearing? Who am I seeing? Who am I working with? Who am I talking to? What does my home look like? All of those details in absolutely every color and stroke that you can imagine. Let your just imagination run wild. And only with all of the stuff that feels good, something creeps up and says, that's not possible. You're only 5'6". Forget about it, because that's not important right now. You just keep filling in all of those colors, and because all of those colors are feelings. All of those colors are your emotions. And that is the quality of your frequency. And the frequency is what actually creates the reality. You can't have anything, you can't experience anything unless you're a frequency match to it. So bringing in all of those feelings and designing it that way with your imagination, which is your most creative, your most spiritual tool, your imagination, then you bring all of those in, you bring all of those in, you bring all of those in. And then you start to pursue it to your best ability at the time. So let's say if it is being a medium, like I'm just using Dave's example again, and you're like, well, I don't know, what is my best ability to pursue being a medium today? And you start to feel that out too. And then after that, you release it. You want to release all of those details that you drew, because guess what? This is what Bashar said. You release all of those details. You have no insistence that it has to be any of those colors in particular. All of those details were there to generate the feelings and to create the frequency, that vibratory signature. You release those, because then you pop it up to your higher mind and you sit in trust and faith and just expectation of it, of those feelings without the details. Your higher mind actually designs it better for you than you ever, your higher self, than you ever could have imagined it. I did a video fairly recently in my on my YouTube channel called The Manifesting Menu of the Universe. And I liken it to sitting at a restaurant and trying on all of the dishes when we're looking at the menu. We're like, ooh, am I going to have carbonara? Am I going to have bolognese? Am I going to have langoustine? I worked in an Italian restaurant when I was in my 20s, so it's a menu that I know really well. And you try all of them on, and you feel them. You know what I mean? Like when you're looking at a menu, you don't logically think about bolognese. You feel into it. You imagine what it tastes like, and you kind of compare it to what your appetite is asking you. That is a perfect metaphor of how we do absolutely everything else in our lives. We look at everything, and then we imagine, and then finally we settle on one, and we're like, yeah, that's the best one. That's the best one. It feels the best to me. And then we place our order and then we sit back and we wait. We don't go sit over the chef's shoulder and say, are you doing it the way I wanted it to be? You don't go because then he's going to get really frustrated with you. And you're going to actually limit his ability because he is the expert and your higher self is the expert actually of how the reality that you want to have in your life, your higher self actually understands that better than you ever will down here in your incarnate perspective. So you can do this with this formula with absolutely everything in your life, whether you do it consciously or not. So absolutely everything in your life you designed, you created, you created it with your frequency, with your feelings. So if you are apprehensive and uncomfortable and worried about money, you probably have less of it in there. Or you could have probably less than your account, but there are plenty of people who are perfectly wealthy and they're still worried about money and they're miserable about how they're experiencing money. So when that frequency, when your feelings are composed of fear and attention to lack, then that's what actually gets created because the universe gives you exactly what you want. If that feels like a disappointment, let me just help you to get on the other side of it. You are a powerful creator, and therefore everything you want, the universe gives to you. And so get on the upside of that and start seeing that positively. And then that's how you're going to just start selecting the reality that you prefer. And that's all we're really doing. That's another thing that Bashar teaches is that we are constantly sourcing potential and alternate realities billions of times per second. Everything already exists. So you're just deciding which reality you want to experience in this moment by the quality of your frequency. And again, your frequency is really your feelings, the feelingscape that you emit. That is the texture of the energy that is coming from you. That is the frequency, like a radio signal. And you know, your thoughts affect your feelings and your feelings affect your thoughts. All of that it isn't what you're actually literally thinking. It's more about the quality of the feeling that you're emitting from you. We still have those callers. Did I lose them? Okay. Well, then I just wanted to get some of that out. And oh, by the way, I want to tell you that there is one shortcut in order to be able to align with those preferred realities is that you can imagine your preferred reality, the thing that actually gives you the highest excitement, and then ask yourself, what must I believe in order to have that reality? What must I believe? Can you understand that? And that is going to help you to align your feeling space with that reality. Now, some people can use this. They use this too to look at their current reality and say, well, if I don't have enough money in my bank account, what must I be believing? What are my beliefs that are having that to happen? But you know what's even better? That's a shorter cut is to just say, what must I believe to have an abundance of money or whatever it is, because then you can feel your way into that again. Don't use that lower mind, that lower thinking mind, that monkey mind. You want to do this from a higher mind. So start from a meditative place, start from your place of peace, start from home, as I explained to Dave, and in that place of clarity and peace and connection with divine. All right. I'm going to go ahead and take that next caller then, Jarvis. Thank you. Hello, you're on the air. Who's this? All right.
Terry.
There you are. Hi. Who's this?
I'm Terry. How are you, Trey?
I'm good. How are you, Terry?
Do you have a connection? I'm doing good. This is my first time tuning into the station. It's been wonderful.
Oh, well, thank you
and
so
I've been
much.
Really connecting with recently what you were talking about when you're connecting with your feelings.
Mm.
Because really when you get into that space totally, your mind is clear of all that. There's other thoughts and so much does come in that you don't expect.
Yeah.
And it really is beautiful. Mm. I've been trying to connect with those feelings more. And I think you really hit it on the nail. You just got to keep manifesting and putting it out there. Mm. And it's really touching.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. Are you having a daily practice where you spend some time to connect with that feeling state?
I have been using spirituality as a tool to work through a lot of issues that I've been working through.
Good.
A lot dealing with some fear and you know, things with post-traumatic stress and things like that. And the experiences have connected me with and others with so much that you just want to explore it more and you want it more to be part of your life.
Yeah, do that. Just pursue that curiosity. That is that highest excitement. So like you say, you want it to be more a part of your life. Just keep being hungry and allowing yourself to explore and feed that appetite. That's a wonderful state to be in. I mean, we go through that when you open up your spiritual kind of new landscape for yourself. You go through these periods where you kind of that hunger comes up again and you just get to go down this road of curiosity without any fear, just like unabashed curiosity, and you just eat all of that information. But in the beginning, like this place that you are, it's kind of the most exciting one. So keep pursuing that. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and I think when you, you know, you fall back a lot, too, when you've been trapped with a lot of fear, especially when it's associated with a lot of serious trauma. And, you know, I try not to, you know, and I think it kind of distorts your confidence a lot. So, you know, you lose a lot of yourself in that. So when you, you know, it's, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I understand.
I don't want to fall back.
That's okay. I understand. And it is, I have been there. I do understand. And it just, again, you know, the message seems to be, as it was with Mike, about self-forgiveness, that when we are having that like confidence and the remembrance of past events, that we're having an issue again with the relationship with the self above all, because the past events aren't the current events. But in being understanding, we understand at our core that we do create a reality. So there is this feeling of distrust with oneself. Am I going to create that reality again? And by the way, I don't mean to say I want to just put a, I just want to put out there that this doesn't mean that children deserve to be harmed or anything like that. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about a higher mind perspective that, you know, when we have experienced something that is traumatic, which is something that is not, to say the least, but just to be easier about it, not a preferred reality, then we have this fear of oneself that we're going to be in that situation again. Because, again, like I said, it isn't right now. That isn't the current reality. But our body is believing it when we have that stress response to something that happened before. Our body is feeling like it's going to happen or that it is happening again. It's having a memory, a sense memory, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so it is a matter of retraining the body again, retraining the body that the body isn't the thinker, isn't the feeler that's in charge. It is your higher mind. And so as you say, you get into that feeling space that is peaceful and clear, then to realize, then to connect with the fact that that is actually the leader. That part of you, that higher mind aspect, is the leader. And that part of you is connected to your higher self and can see down the road. And so you don't have to know everything that's happening right now, because the higher mind knows, and you can just be at peace that your greatest parent is in charge of everything. I think you're doing real well. It's a little bit of, like I say, physical body retraining. Some of the body and you know, the physical aspects of us are slower to make transformation because it's more dense. It's easier to in this moment you can just choose to feel something that's wonderful. But it's hard to, you can't choose to be, you can, but we don't believe in it. You can't choose to be 2 feet taller. You know what I mean? Like, the body can't really respond that way, but we can choose to imagine being 2 feet taller. You can have the imagined experience of it. And your imagination is actually, like I say, the most powerful spiritual and creative tool that we have. Did you have a question or something, Terry? I didn't want to just keep talking over you. I love that you're sharing your experience. It's beautiful.
It's very good. I've been, you know, putting out to the universe and getting so many things totally unexpected back. And it's beautiful, and I just want to, you know, I do want to keep manifesting these experiences, and it does give me a lot of drive. It gives me that excitement that I haven't had in a while.
Wonderful.
And, yeah, I just, you know, want to, you know, like you said, you know, plug into that.
Well, let me just tell you this too, and you might want to write this down. I think this would be actually be a really good affirmation for you, is that I said it a little bit earlier, miracles are your natural state. And you know, even when they're they're not the phenomenon, they're your natural state of existence. That feeling that you're saying I'm manifesting and I'm seeing, you know, synchronistic things happening and that wonderful blissful state, that's actually your natural state. And even if we experienced it every single moment of every day, it actually doesn't lose its pizzazz. It still feels like a miracle all the time. We still feel amazed by it, and we still feel that deep feeling of joy and clarity and peace. So I think it would be great for you to write that down, because you're feeling those feelings of miracles and bliss. I want you to write that down. Miracles are my natural state of being.
Okay, I did. Thank
Good.
You, Tricia.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the inspiration.
So many blessings to you, Terry. I send you so much love, and you're on a wonderful path.
Thank you, and I appreciate you taking my call.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for calling.
To you.
Thank you. She was very sweet. How much time do we have, Jarvis? We're almost done with our show. Oh, we have 7 minutes? Okay. Wowie, that's great. I thought that we were almost done. Okay, then. So we have more callers. I should go ahead and do that then. Yes, let's take more callers. But I loved Terry's share. That was wonderful. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, this is Liz.
Hi, Liz. How are you, Liz?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Very good. What's going on today?
Well, I don't know. I guess I've had a pretty tough month and a tough week, and I'm just calling to see if, you know, Spirit has any messages. And also, if you could look to down, like, the relationship avenue.
Okay.
Either that, whatever, just kind of best aligns in this moment.
Okay, cool. Can you tell me where you're calling from? I just want to tap into your field a little bit more.
Yeah. Seattle.
Okay.
Over in Washington.
Okay, great. Oh, is it beautiful there right now? I'll bet it is.
No.
Oh, it's not?
No, it's so rainy.
Oh, it's rainy. Okay. Well, all right then. It's beautiful here right now. We'll send you some of that. But we could use some of your rain, so let's swap.
Thank you.
All right then. Okay, Liz. So okay, so the week and the month, that is feeling, that's a little bit more in the, is that the career occupation, the day-to-day, kind of stuff that we're doing? There's been some discomfort there.
I'm not working right now. So there's been like a lot of, you know, career searching and,
Okay, great.
For sure.
All right. Well, first I want to tell you to pursue your highest excitement to the best of your ability at the time without any insistence of the outcome, as I said earlier. So in order to be able to align with what that would be, and that will actually, even if it's like, you know, I want to be a Broadway actress. Well, okay. Now that's great. You know, you're in Seattle though, so you're not in Broadway, but what would be the best ability at the time? You know what I mean? Like, what could you do that can align you with those feelings and still keep pursuing it? And actually just adjusting your frequency to where you're pursuing your greatest excitement will help you, even if you need to find a cash job right now. It will help you to align better with that now, with what is the best ability at the time. You see what I mean? Like, because you'll be able to adjust your feeling space to be, if you just think about it, if you're feeling positive about being able to connect with something, then you're going to be more aware of when those somethings, those opportunities are there. Your awareness is going to be tuned up to it. So I want you to spend some time thinking about what your greatest excitement is. And that'll help to adjust some of that. And the relationship thing, let's see. Okay. It feels like it's been about, 18 months or 2 years since you had a serious relationship?
Yeah, so I've been in a relationship for about 3 years now. And this is probably the most serious one.
Okay, I see. Something about 18 months or 2 years, there's been some stuff that feels like there's some lackluster that's been going on, something like that, and you're a little concerned about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a really tough period, I think, because when we got back from college and then my mom passed away and I got a lot of health issues. So it's just been a really, it's just tough.
Yeah, it's been
brought on a lot of challenges between us two. And then I just kind of feel like, especially this month, we're just really going backwards and a lot of fights and a lot of issues that I'm trying to figure out how exactly to solve.
Okay. Yeah.
So it hasn't really been getting any better.
I understand. So, okay. What's going to happen, what will happen is both of you, you're kind of having these fights and everything because you're pushing yourselves to do the work that you need to do in order for you to individually and to, as a couple, to come together better. Because like you're saying, if you have a lot of tension, then you're going to just have tension with one another. And so we're having these, it's kind of like, you know, in our political system, things look like terrible to us right now on either side, whatever your feelings are about who should be president or not. Everybody thinks that it looks terrible right now. So we actually kind of start yelling about what it is we're upset about so that we can actually understand what we're upset about in a way. And then we can really start to do the real work. So right now the fights are about you guys trying to get back to the place where it's like, okay, I need to be with me to figure this out. If you listen to the show we're talking about, it really starts with you. It comes to you being able to find that peace, clarity, and connection with yourself before you can actually create the frequency of peace, clarity, and connection with anyone. So both of you are getting to that place. It's actually, it's going to sound weird to say it this way, but I'm going to shorthand it and say it's a good thing that you've been having these fights because it's sort of the thing that is going to be the catalyst to help you to not separate, but just go to the autonomous place individually and then find the peace, clarity, and connection to the self. And because at some point, when you're banging against the wall to try to open a door and your hands are bruised up, you're like, well, this can't be the right way to do it. So then you sit back and you take a moment, and you take a breath, and you say, where's the door? Rather than me trying to pound this wall down with my hands, I can sit back and find that peace, that home space, and then I'll be able to find the door. And then having that confidence and expectation of yourself to connect with it. So basically what I'm telling you is to, even though you feel like I should be spending more time looking for a job and I need to be trying harder, I actually want you to take, even if it's 30 minutes every day, the first part of your day, I feel like you might enjoy some morning air and to be with yourself. Meditation, I cannot tell you, I cannot stress that enough. Meditation actually does clear the mind space. At first, when we start to do it, it actually feels difficult because the mind is going and chattering away. But if we just sit quietly in a chair and we set a timer for 10 minutes and close our eyes and breathe, we keep doing that. After about 3 days, our mind starts to shut up. And after it, because it just starts, it's banging its hands against the wall. So it's going to start shutting up. But just give yourself a 30-day challenge of doing that. Set a timer for 10 minutes, close your eyes and breathe in a quiet room where you won't be disturbed or a quiet space. And you will start to find that deep clarity that the previous caller was talking about. I promise. And that is, I'm telling you to do nothing in order to figure out what to do. But it sounds like a paradox, but it's actually the secret to life. And awesome. I want to tell you
I love
that
it.
And I'm not telling you, I'm not doing this. I could look into your timeline and tell you when things are going to start to change for you, but that's not going to serve you because right now you need to change that when by the choices and the feelings that you're creating right now, because the when right now is going to reflect exactly what the when you have been creating so far. Does that make sense? We actually have to change ourselves before we change the next thing that's happening. So I think that's the
that makes sense.
Yeah, good. All right, sweetie. And go to my YouTube channel. I have a meditation there if you want to try, or you can just Google guided meditations if you want to start there too. But really, set a timer for 10 minutes, because when you close your eyes and breathe for 10 minutes, the timer will keep you from having to look at the clock every time, because 30 seconds will pass. You'll be like, it must have been 2 hours by now. So the timer will don't open your eyes for 10 minutes. Just keep breathing. It'll tell you when it's time. All right, sweetie. Well,
that
is about our time. But thank you so much for calling, Liz. Really nice to meet you. And I hope you'll call another time. Let me know what's going.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome, sweetie. All right. Well, I think that is our show today. So everyone, do just please keep pursuing your greatest excitement to the best ability at the time without any insistence of the outcome. Spend time with yourself. Do that exercise I said, 10 minutes, turn on a timer, close your eyes and breathe, and just give yourself that space every day. I swear it will change your life, and it becomes really easy after just a few days. And that is really the secret to life, is doing less. All right. Well, we'll be back again next week at 11 a.m. Pacific Live. You can find me at facebook.com/Trisha Carr Charm. I have a Facebook group called Charmed Life as well. Please do join that if you like this content and want to talk more about metaphysics, spirituality, and pursuing your greatest excitement. Another shout out to Daryl Anka, who channels Bashar, for the inspiration for today's topic. Thank you to Jarvis, my producer. And I will see you all again very soon. I love you, whoever you are.